So I gotta be honest, I've been struggling all week with what to write about, what to talk about today in this homily. You know, my intention was to follow up on the homily from last week and to celebrate. We had 157 people come forward, or well, at least lean forward to type in to the chat, telling us that they had had a transformational encounter with the Lord this past year. That they is telling us that they had taken a step forward in becoming a disciple. 157. That's amazing. That's a 60% increase over the number from last year. That is incredible. That's worth celebrating. And I wanted to follow up on that because it is truly amazing what God is doing in our midst. But like you, I see all the things going on in the United States. I see the Black Lives Matter movement, and I hear those crying out for justice, crying out to be heard, and it moves me. And I also know it is something that is occurring primarily in the United States. I'm sure there's a spillover into Canada. And then we have our own past and our present that we need to wrestle with. You know, there's an old adage that says that when America coughs, Canada catches a cold. Well, maybe in this time of this terrible virus, that's not the right analogy to use. But these particular protests and this Black Lives Matter movement is still at its core an American issue. So I didn't know if I should address it here. And I ended up writing four different homilies this Sunday. This version that I'm doing now actually got finished at 8:30 this morning. And it's because I don't know. I don't know what to say in the face of what I believe is a sea change in our society. I believe it's going to be a sea change in the American culture. But it also, like I said, will spill over, and it will be a sea change here as well. And as a white man, I don't know what to say. Except I think we need to listen. Listen to the voices of people who are crying out for justice in our world, and looking at how God is speaking to us in this time. And as someone who tries to follow Jesus, all I know is that Jesus himself was killed for no good reason, was unjustly put on that cross. And I know that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So I believe Christ is speaking to us in these voices that hunger and thirst for righteousness in our world today. Jesus, as he tells us in today's gospel, did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. That is his mission. We cannot save ourselves. On our own, we generally are a mess. On our own, as human beings, sinfulness gets in the way of everything. Our selfishness, our pride, our prejudices. You know, we hunger for the wrong things. We hunger and thirst for power and prestige, not righteousness. Our sinfulness gets in the way. I know this to be true in my own life, and so I know it to be true for our society. Jesus came to save us from being condemned for our own sinfulness, and to be liberated from it. And that doesn't mean that someone who's a disciple isn't going to sin. History, our church's history, and our own personal history demonstrate that we will still fall into sin, even as a follower of Christ. We will still fall into sin. But being authentic as a, being authentic in our discipleship means that we are humble enough to recognize our sin when it's called out. That we're willing to repent, to always ask forgiveness and look for ways to achieve real reconciliation. It means that we want to amend our ways and better imitate Christ. I don't have any easy answers. I know we need to listen. We need to listen to God, and we need to listen, to really listen, to the stories of those who hunger and thirst for justice, for righteousness in our world. And I know we need Jesus. Jesus is the only simple answer I know. And it may sound trite, but Jesus is the answer. It isn't easy, but it is simple. Jesus is the one who can bring real justice into our world. Without him, our feeble attempts at justice usually amount to retribution, to scapegoating, to finger-pointing. Jesus is the only one who can bring real peace into our world. Without him, the peace that we have it's the Pax Romana. It's the absence of conflict because there's an underlying fear of the power of those in authority. Peace of God is a result of a harmonious relationship with the Lord. And God's justice is the harmonious relationship with one another. They go hand in hand. And Jesus came into the world to reconcile us to the Father, to restore that harmonious relationship with him, and to teach us to live in that harmonious relationship with one another. Love one another as I have loved you, he said. As I have loved you. He got up on the cross for you. He's telling us to love one another in that same way. And so, yes, ultimately, Jesus is the answer. The transformational encounter with Christ, the personal relationship with him, the desire to learn from him, to imitate him, to follow him, that's the only way that I think we can seek authentic justice, repentance, reconciliation. Christ is the only way to find true, lasting peace. We may very well find a way forward from this current situation without turning to God. That is always possible. But it'll never fully address the real underlying injustice. It will fall into retribution and scapegoating on all sides. We need a justice that seeks to bring about lasting structural changes and foster reconciliation. And I don't know that that is achievable without Jesus Christ moving us to repentance and forgiveness. There is no quick fix. So yes, I may seem like a one-trick pony, but I cannot see any long-term solution that doesn't involve allowing Christ to transform our hearts. Christ transforming our hearts enables us to transform the world. Enables us to transform our culture, our city, our society, our politics. Christ transforming our hearts is the only long-term solution. And that's why I'm so proud of what God is doing in our midst. I know that 157 people had that transformational encounter with God this past year. And I know we can grow that number even more. As I said last week, addition isn't enough. As great as 60% growth is, we can only realistically hope to change our own community, our own parish. And that's great. That's wonderful. That's exciting. But our world needs transformation. Our city needs transformation. Our society needs to be transformed. For that to happen, we need exponential growth. And that's why I dream about not just our parish helping people encounter Christ, but dozens of parishes in our city, each one helping hundreds of people to have that life-changing encounter with the Lord. And I dream about thousands upon thousands of people who are seeking to bring God's justice and his peace into our city and into our world. I dream that we can transform our churches so that every man and woman knows, regardless of their color, their creed, regardless of who they are, what they've done, they know that we will care for them and we will care about them. They know that we will value them. We will listen to them and be willing to walk with them and help them find purpose and meaning in encountering God's unfailing love for them. I dream of a time when people will hear the Catholic Church and think not of an institution, but will think of people who hunger and thirst for righteousness in our world, of people who crave God's justice and peace for those who cannot speak for themselves. I dream of a time when people will think of the church as people who long to bring Christ's kingdom to life right here and right now. Moses, in that first reading that we heard today, he goes up to Mount Sinai with two blank tablets. Moses had gone up there before. He'd gone up Mount Sinai before, and he'd come back with the Ten Commandments that form the covenant between God and the people. But very quickly, the people broke that covenant. They broke the commandments. And Moses is livid when he sees this. And so he breaks the commandments that God had given him. He breaks those tablets. He smashes them to pieces. And he starts to pray. He prays to God and he pleads. He pleads for his people. God tells him to go back up the mountain with two new stone tablets. Moses literally goes up the mountain, up Mount Sinai. He literally goes up with a blank slate. Because God is always willing to start over with us. He's always ready to begin anew. As it says in that reading, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. For a world that is too often quick to anger, not slow to anger. It is abounding, not in steadfast love and faithfulness, but in prejudice and discrimination. We're a world that keeps its promises, not the thousandth generation, but keeps generations of people in the cycles of poverty and neglect, and seeks retribution and retaliation rather than reconciliation. That world needs a God who so loves us that he sent his only begotten son to save us. Those stiff-necked people, each and every one of us, stiff-necked people. That's what Moses calls them. That's who we are. And yet God gave up his son for you. He gave up his son for me. George Floyd's death demands justice. Ahmaud Arbery's death demands justice. Trayvon Martin's death demands justice. Eric Garner's death demands justice. That justice must be sought. But we all of us, need God's only begotten Son. We need it if true justice is actually going to be found. If true peace is actually going to come about, only Jesus can bring God's justice. Only he can bring God's peace. Only he can bring the lasting change we really need in our society because he's bringing it first into our hearts. Our society is not out there. It is us. So if we want it to change, we have to change. I want to help bring about that change in our parish, in our city, and in our world. I want to help bring about it by transforming our lives. By bringing more and more people to God's peace and justice and truth through Jesus Christ, our Lord.